That relate to anybody here? All right. You'll notice my wife is not here this morning. She didn't get mad at the first service and not come back. No, she's still dealing with some sore jaws from some teeth removal. But I took her on Friday. I was just the gentleman, all that, you know. Yeah, obeyed all the traffic laws, and she's doing pretty good. So, we're in a series called Asking for a Friend. Sometimes in life we have those questions that we kind of wonder about. We're asking for a friend because we don't want anybody else to know that we struggle with it, but there is something that we all struggle with, and it affects our families, it affects our marriages, and it affects our lives. So let's deal with it this morning. Of course, we're asking for a friend, but how many of you have ever said, you know, my anger is not really my fault, right? It is what you do to me, and it's the situations that I find myself in. So the issue this morning is anger. And since it's an issue that really touches all of our lives, maybe we ought to recognize some of the problems that come from it. There are people in our world today who have been divorced, remarried and divorced, remarried and divorced, and maybe they're on their third or fourth marriage, but they're pushing towards divorce again. There are children that live in our homes that feel separated and wounded by their parents, and yet they're not brave enough or willing enough to stand up and say anything. Others of us may have separation with people that we have loved. Some of us have lost jobs because of our anger, and others of us have lost friends. So the reality is that it is a challenge, whether we want to admit it or not. It's a challenge for just about every one of us. The great Aristotle said, anyone can become angry, it's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, is not easy. Manage anger well. The goal to shoot for this morning is that God, you'd help me walk out of here today and be able to more carefully manage my anger. Before we get started this morning, I want to tell you that my sermon this morning has been based on some notes I've taken from John Ortenberg. And the first thing he tells us is to recognize anger. The first thing to recognize when we are dealing with anger is that we are dealing with anger. Every one of us struggles in our dealings with anger. We may not want to admit it, but all of us do. We're going to take a pop quiz this morning, so get your paper out and your pencil. Here we go. No, I'm just going to ask the questions you answer in your minds. No hand raising here. When driving, how often do you use your horn? A, rarely ever. B, I use it almost like a vitamin, once daily as needed. Or C, it is the most used part of my car. If the last one is you, maybe you have some anger issues. Second question. I'm at a restaurant. How often do you complain about the food at the restaurant? Never, no matter what they serve me, hey, I'm an easygoing kind of guy or girl. Or, hey, if the food's cold or I see something crawling around in there, I need to say something. Or maybe you just say regularly, I always send it back. I always find something to complain about. Again, if you answered number C, you're probably a person that deals with some anger. Third question is this. You are in line at the supermarket. Let's bold it and underline it. Express checkout. How do you respond to the people in front of you? Do you quietly meditate, envisioning world peace? Do you count the people or the items in their carts of the people in front of you, making sure they have less, 10 or less items in their cart? Or C, do you threaten anyone who looks like they may use coupons? The truth is we all deal with anger in some form. Some of us explode. It just kind of comes flying out of us. Others of us, we are more subtle about it. Maybe we withdraw from folks emotionally. Maybe we resort to sarcasm, using words that are loaded when you talk to other people. For some, you may become passively aggressive, getting your little jabs in, which the people around you may not notice at first. But the question is, how well do you manage your anger? What does God say about this morning? We want to look at His Word and what He has to say. We want to look at history. We want to look at research. God makes two broad statements about the issue of anger. He writes through the Apostle Paul, writing on God's behalf. Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. The implication here is that it's not wrong to be angry, but to be careful with how you deal with it. To be wise, to not destroy yourselves or others in the process. You see, anger is not sin in and of itself. Anger can be like a, I hope we have one in here, a smoke detector. A smoke detector. Do you ever have those things go off? When you got smoke in the house, you know you gotta do something. Or when the batteries are about to die, they start to go off and off and off, and you know that you need to do something. That's right, the batteries. Trust me, guys, they're not there. You're not going to find them. Guys, they're not there. I'm not going to find them. Maybe. I don't know what I'm looking for. I just see what I don't see. So, anyways, a smoke detector provides a warning system. It's not that the smoke in and of itself is bad or that the batteries needing charged is bad, but it is a warning to us that we need to do something. It's a warning that what we are dealing with is something that needs our attention. The same is true with anger. Anger exists to warn us that something is wrong and to move us to an action. We're not designed to live in a constant state of anger. It isn't God's design. He said, be angry, but do not sin. A second statement was written by Solomon. Gloria read it for us this morning. Better a patient man than a warrior. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. It's like taking a person who has mastered this whole idea of getting angry and being under control, and it's like taking another person who has conquered a city and placing them side by side. And you ask God, which one is the real hero here? And God would pick the one who is able to manage his anger every time. God said the real hero is the one who subdues or rules over his own temper. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we control or rule over our own temper? Let's talk about a few myths before we get started. Myth number one, researchers say, how many times do you run into a person who says, oh, my anger is caused by external forces and other people? It's other things that make me angry, not me. Well, researchers tell us two things trigger our anger. One are the stupid little things that come up in our lives. I stop and I bend down to tie my shoe, and I do it in kind of a hurried fashion, and I tie it and I get up and I start to walk again, and the thing comes untied. And all of a sudden, everything is, my laces, and the list just goes on and on and on. And we blow up over it. The other thing is you get to an elevator. And I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but you get there and you push the button, waiting for the elevator to come down to take you up. Are you all with me this morning? Okay. You push the button and it comes down to take you up. All right. But it doesn't come down, so you push it again, waiting for it to, but it won't open to take you back up. So you push it again, and it happens again. And finally, you're pushing it. Like you expected it to realize how important you are, come down missing all the floors with people waiting to go down, and to come down and open up just for how many of you have, we won't ask. The other thing is people. People, we say, make us mad. How many of you have ever used this statement? Just yesterday, one honest one here. You make me so mad. You make me so mad. It's our way of saying emotions and frustrations, playing the blame game doesn't work. Taking responsibility and saying, I have to deal with this, is the real answer. Other people say, well, I just can't control my anger. I just kind of go off. And researchers tell us that that's not true. Did you know that kind of blowing up is a learned behavior? You can manage it. You can learn how to express your anger so that you don't need to take it out on something or someone. You can learn how to replace that bad behavior with more positive behaviors. And then the third myth I like is the one that says, well, when I get angry, I just need to go find a third party, somebody that I can go talk to, kind of get it off my chest. But again, researchers tell us that most of the time when we are angry, we go to find a third party who will have a sympathetic ear. And what they hear from us and what they say to us doesn't diminish our anger, but rather it stirs it up. And we feel more justified than soothed by that third party. So what I'm going to do this morning is give you six easy steps. Six easy steps on how to cool down and how to deal with your anger. The first one is simply this, it's just to stop, to step back, to kind of take a moment and to assess the situation, to cool down, and to maybe ask the question, or to say, I could be wrong. I mean, I realize it's a 999,999% chance that I'm not wrong, but there is that one chance that I am. I could be wrong. They say that men, when they lose their temper, the first thing they want to do is get in a car and drive. I don't know if that's that really good of an idea, you know, if you're already angry to get in a car and drive, but that's what they say men like to do. Maybe better to go for a walk and to cool down. But when you take that time to stop, you begin to ask that question, maybe I could be wrong here. What did I possibly do? Could I be wrong in all of this? And what it simply allows you to do is to gain a little perspective on the situation. The second thing, you stop, I could be wrong here, and then you invite God's Spirit to lead you in that moment. Now, I know some of you are saying, come on, Pastor, I'm not going to think of that. Well, you know what? You should. If you are a Christ follower this morning, His Spirit does not leave you. He is there all of the time, even when you get angry. You need to say, Lord, I need you right now to lead me and to guide me through this moment. Romans chapter 8 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You this morning, if you are believers, you have the Spirit of God living within you. That should give you power and wisdom so that you don't need to blow up or to go off angry. Another passage says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know about you, but when I'm angry, that's probably one of the times that I'm at my weakest point. So when you get angry, you need to stop and say, you know, I could be wrong. And you need to invite God into your circumstances, into your life, to deal with what's in front of you. The third thing is you've got to ask. You've got to ask yourself the question, why am I so angry? What's going on? Remember, anger is not a primary emotion in our lives. Sometimes we need to step back and to ask the question, why am I angry? Am I hurt or am I frustrated or am I fearful? Step back and ask that question. Let me give you a couple examples this morning. Let's just say you are a single person here today. And you kind of have been around a place and you get to know another person and you think, that other person's a pretty nice person. I think I'm going to ask her out or ask him out. And their response to you is this, to be honest, I don't find you attractive. Now you have just been rejected. Are you angry or are you hurt? Right. And so the anger feelings are a result of you feeling hurt. Second story. Kind of like the one that we saw on the screen. You're running late for church. But it is your spouse who slowed you down getting out the door this morning. I say to all you men out there, just get used to that. That's good part of the, you know, territory. You rush to get to the church. You look for a spot, and the only spot in a crowded church like this is in like the third pew from the front. And you know, the church is going on, and you're trying to look for a dead moment to come forward. What's going on there? Are you hurt? Are you frustrated? Or are you fearful? You're frustrated, right? Or let's just say you and your wife are in bed at night. It is late. It is pitch dark. And you hear a thumping noise downstairs like somebody's broken in. Now, according to the Constitution of the United States, who is required to go down? The man. All right. But you say, what is that? And your husband says, because you picked man, your husband says in a loud enough voice that he can shout over the noise that's going on downstairs, what do you hear? I don't hear anything. And you then say, well, I know who it is. There's an axe-wielding, bloodthirsty maniac who just broke out of the Camp Hill prison. I think it could be him. And you say, well, then I'll just go down there in my underwear and scare him away, right? But then he begins to think. He says, you know, we kind of live in this egalitarianism world, and honey, I think you should go down. And she says, honey, I am in my makeup, I am in my nightgown, and I have no makeup on. I can't go down. Now the both of you are angry, but are you really angry? Or is there fear? Fear. Neither of you wants to go, so you stop. You invite God into your circumstance. You ask the question, then why am I angry? Am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Am I fearful? Next, you step back and you what? You listen, right? That was with the kids? Oh, Mom, I'm out. No, we got to keep going here. Next, you step back and you listen. You empathize with the other person. You find out how they saw the situation. James 1 tells us, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to, slow to, and slow to. It's the saying is true. The angrier you are, the more likely you are to run at the mouth, and the less likely you are to. God is saying he wants us to be slow to, he wants us to be more open to, and he doesn't want us to get angry. If you start talking, the more likely you are to get angry, and angry people aren't good listeners. So you need to stop. You need to say, I could be wrong. You need to invite God into your life in that moment. You need to ask, why am I angry? And you need to listen, to view it from the other person's perspective. Hear them out. Have you ever gotten angry on the road? Okay, there's one honest person here that's raising their hand. How many of you have ever gotten angry on the road? And if you don't have your hand up, you're lying to me, so you owe me an apology. All right? Most people, when they think about the other driver who has just caused them to get angry, they think that they are awful and inconsiderate people. They have an issue right away which hinders them from listening to what the other person might say. Researchers say the best thing that you can do when you get on the road and you encounter that situation, is think about the other driver. Think that maybe that's your mother. That's your mother. You wouldn't say to your mother, "Oh, Mom, you pulled out in traffic." You would treat them with kindness and respect. You might even empathize with them. So we stop, we invite, we ask, we listen, and we rethink. In this case, we want to ask, what do I really want out of this situation? It seems logical. Many of the times we find ourselves in an argument over something, but the longer it goes on, the longer we argue about it, sometimes we get more concerned about winning the argument than what it is we really want out of the situation. What's my goal? I've been with people, I've gotten in arguments with people, I've seen people argue with each other, and they go at it, and they go at it, and they go at it, and finally you say to them, what are you arguing over? And neither side can remember what it was that they started to argue over. And then you stop, you invite, you ask, you listen, you rethink, and then you take appropriate action. You go and you do something. After you've gone through all five of those, you'll tend to figure out what it is that you need to do. Anger management's not shutting down completely. You don't swallow it, your anger. Remember, it's there for a reason. You need to respond and to take action. It's like that smoke detector with somebody else. You know, they're kind of causing you to go off, but it's really there to take you or to cause you to do something to fix that which you're angry about. So you stop, you invite, you ask, you listen, you rethink, you go. Now you look at all those things, and there's six things there, and you say, in the heat of the moment, Pastor, I'm never going to do all six of those things. Come on. You're probably right. But do something for me this week. Just do number one and number two. When you get to the point where you're angry and you're about ready to take it out on somebody, you just stop. And you say, this could be my fault. And number two, you invite God in that moment into your life and say, Lord, I'm going to need your help to work through this situation in a way that's loving. And you know what? You stop and you invite. And all the other steps will take care of themselves. As I said, some of you have left family alienated. You've gotten angry, and the easiest thing to do, or the closest thing to direct that anger towards, was the people in your family that really have no power. And they look at you now and they're afraid. Some of them are embarrassed because of the way you've treated them and others. And people may come across you and know, well, he's a hothead or she's a hothead. And see you as a constant source of anger. Some of you are in marriages with no intimacy. There's been no intimacy for weeks or months or even years, and all there is anger. There's no more real loving touch, no more intimacy. It's just anger and hostility. And some of you, when you speak words that drip with sarcasm. And you know what sarcasm can do? It can shatter another person without lifting a finger. It's just the words that we say. But imagine what it would look like if you could master this thing called anger. Imagine yourself facing that deadline. Imagine the lines in the store. Imagine the highway traffic lines that you face all the time. You could face that with a much inner sense of calm. And you not see people as your enemy, but with a sense of calm that even in the midst of strife, you can welcome them into your life. Imagine the minutes, the hours, or the days that if you didn't sulk or withdraw because of the people around you, the guilt and the humiliation, the flying off the handle. Imagine if we could just get our hands around this whole issue of anger and manage it well. Remember, the Bible said it's not a sin to be angry, but if we allow it to, it can become a sin that mars us and scars us. How do you manage your anger? How well do you manage it? It's really up to us to stop, to invite God in, and then handle all the other steps. They'll flow together, one right after the other, when we do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, how it can be applied to every part of our lives, even something that was written 2, 3, 4, or more thousand years ago. Lord, remind each of us as we deal with people to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and very, very slow to ever get angry. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.